This is Chris Bloomer on Sunshine Radio, and on the show today I'm talking to a man whose incredible show, The Story of Guitar Heroes, is on at the Regal in Tenbury Wells this Saturday night. And here to talk to us about it is the one and only Phil Walker. Hello, Phil.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you today?
Great, thank you.
Before we talk about the show, I want to know, how old were you when you learned to play the guitar?
Oh, I was quite young. I started when I was 6 years old, wow. So not that long ago.
And have you still got the first guitar you learned to play on?
Almost. I was 11 years old when my mum and dad bought me my first Fender Stratocaster, and I do still have that, yes.
How many guitars do you actually own in total, then?
I should know this, shouldn't I? But I think I'm over 40 now, but less than 50.
And do they all get used, your guitars, or are some on display?
No, I use every single one. I don't buy a guitar to just look at it, although they are beautiful things. If I buy a guitar, I do play it, and you know, I get it to use it.
Now, who's the guitarist that influenced and inspired you when you were growing up and learning to play?
Oh, I think when I was 6 years old, I remember seeing Hank Marvin, and my dad was always a Hank Marvin fan as well. We had Shadows LPs at home, so it was that red Fender Stratocaster and Hank Marvin that did it for me.
Well, Hank Marvin features in The Story of Guitar Heroes. It's a show that you toured around the world for a number of years. I mean, where did the idea for the show come from, Phil?
It was late at night. I came home from a gig. I can't remember who I was playing with. And I remember switching on the TV, and it was BBC, Guitar Heroes at the BBC. And I started thinking, wouldn't it be great if you could actually see all these guitar heroes in one concert? And obviously, you know, sadly, a lot are no longer with us. And that's basically where the idea of the show came from. And I'd always wanted to produce my own theatre show. I've played in lots of other theatre shows, a musical director, guitar player, but always wanted my own. Yeah, it was that sort of triggered me. I'm thinking, yep, that's the idea.
It's a fantastic idea. I mean, as well as you, there's three other guitarists.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got a full live band. So yeah, I mean, we all play guitar and bass between us. The drummer even plays guitar as well. So that's great. And we've got video screens. And there's quite a lot of new things happening this year as well. So if you saw the show last year, then there's quite a few new changes in there. So we always try to alter it as much as we can every year.
So as well as you, Phil, there's Chris Taylor, there's Lee Williams, and there's Mike Keane.
Oh, there isn't Mike Keane anymore. Unfortunately, Mike, he fell ill over Christmas.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he got pneumonia, unfortunately. But he's on the mend. It's going to be a little bit of a journey for him, but he's on the mend, and we wish him really well. But we have a drummer called Chris Allen now, who's now in the show. So another Chris.
Did you know each other before, or did you sort of have to audition for people to be a part of this show?
Well, yeah, I mean, both Chris Taylor and Lee Williams I've known for quite a while. In fact, Lee Williams used to work in a music shop where I bought a lot of my guitars from. So he's responsible for lots of guitars in my house. And I've still not forgiven him. And Chris Taylor I've known for a long time. They're, you know, both those guys are, you know, from the area that I'm from. And obviously when Mike went ill this year, we had to audition for another drummer. And we had over 100 applicants. So that was difficult, you know, whittling it down. But we finally got a guy that we're really happy with, and he's super talented. He's an excellent drummer and a great guitar player as well. So, yeah, looking forward to working with him.
Well, The Story of Guitar Heroes is the ultimate guitar show, recreating the sound and ambience of the greatest guitar heroes of all time. You journey through 50 years of iconic hits from legendary guitarists, from Eric Clapton to Jimi Hendrix to Brian May, Jimmy Page, Hank Marvin, we talked about earlier, also Chuck Berry, my dad's favourite, Mark Knopfler as well.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible lineup of fantastic musicians to be performing in one show.
Absolutely. It's a lot of guitars as well, because we actually use the correct guitar that guitar hero would have used. So we tour a lot of guitars with as well. But yeah, I mean, I've always, when I started learning, you know, when I was young, I always tried to copy the style. Hank Marvin, the way he holds the tremolo arm, and Eddie Cochran, you know, the way that he attacked the guitar. And I always just kind of copied what they did. So that was kind of helpful when putting the show together.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, it starts in the 1950s with a good old rock and roll, and then through to the most creative and inspirational guitar heroes of modern times. Which legendary guitarists are you performing as on the night then, Phil?
Well, I do a lot of them, actually. I do Hank Marvin, Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler, David Gilmour, Pink Floyd. We're all kind of involved in all of it, to be honest. I always look forward to the Mark Knopfler section.
Yeah, I bet, I bet. Because my mum and dad saw the show when you were last in Tenbury. Was that last year?
It would have been, yes. Not long after the lockdowns and everything, I think we played there. It was one of our first shows back, yeah.
Well, they were blown away. They said how amazing it was. Incredible evening.
Really appreciate that.
Well, listen, Phil, it's been fantastic to chat to you today.
Thank you, likewise.
All the best with the Story of Guitar Heroes on tour right now at the Regal in Tenbury Wells this Saturday, the 28th of January. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. I'll make
you feel good. Can you feel that? Playing the songs that make you feel good. This is Sunshine Radio.
This is Chris Bloomer on Sunshine Radio, and on the show today, I'm joined by Barry Steele, whose show Barry Steele and Friends is on at the Regal in Tenbury Wells on Thursday the 2nd of February. Promises to be an unforgettable night of live music featuring classic songs from Roy Orbison, Chris Isaak and the Travelling Wilburys. And here to talk to us about it is the one and only Barry Steele. Hi, Barry.
Hello, how are you? All right?
I'm not too bad. How are you today?
Not so bad. Still a bit cold, though.
Oh, it is freezing. Bit nippy. I want to know first up, Barry, when did you first become a fan of the Big O?
Probably about, just over 20 years ago. I was never a fan when I first started singing his beautiful music, but it's just over 20 years ago when I first started this line of work.
Now, that's very interesting, because I thought you were going to say something like, I've obviously been listening to him and been a massive fan of him since the 60s, but that's not the case then at all.
Well, yes, that's right. It's only pure by accident, I suppose, in a way, that I ended up as Roy Orbison, because I was never an entertainer before that. I was just a simple truck driver, and I ended up being forced by my wife and children up at a family holiday park to sing a song one evening, and they eventually got me up after an hour, and I sang a song which wasn't a Roy song, and the whole of the clubhouse stood up and applauded me. They said it sounded great, and I got such a buzz out of it, and a lot of people afterwards told me that I sounded just like Roy Orbison.
That's the moment you went, bang, we can do something with this.
That is exactly it, yes. I thought, blimey, I got such a big buzz out of it, singing that one song, that I thought, wow, I like this. So we started doing what a lot of people do when they first start their trade in the entertainment, is learning the craft and going to see a lot of other artists, how they do theirs as well. And you go to the pubs and clubs and start performing in those.
How long was it from you doing that performance at the holiday park to taking on this as a professional career?
It was roughly about 4 or 5 years afterwards.
Now, what I used to love about Roy Orbison, as well as his incredible songs, his look. I thought his look was just so cool. I mean, the glasses, and he had the dark clothes as well. But I was quite surprised. I only found out recently he used to wear the dark glasses, apparently, because he was shy and used to suffer stage fright.
Yes, he was a shy guy. Kept himself to himself, sort of thing. But he got a very dry sense of humour. That's what I've read and heard, which apparently I've got one of those as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I mean, the songs, though, they're timeless classics, aren't they? I mean, Only the Lonely, Oh Pretty Woman, Crying, Running Scared. It must be great to perform those every night.
They're stunning songs. It's songs that just will never die. Mm. You know, it was the proper music days in those days. The lyrics that he wrote in his songs were amazing, really. And the way they was composed. Very unusual compositions in a lot of the songs, which my band is certainly finding that out.
Now, after the mid-60s, Roy suffered a number of personal tragedies, didn't he?
He certainly did, yes. He lost his wife in a motorbike accident, and he also lost two of his children in a house fire as well. It's dreadful.
I mean, his career sort of went on the back burner, really, didn't it? Because from the mid-60s onwards, he sort of disappeared, obviously, to cope with the tragedies that he'd been faced with life. But then he sort of came back in spectacular style in the late 80s.
Yeah, that was something else. And it's such a shame it was so short-lived as well, because that was like the reboost of his career, really. Meeting up with the Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, and all that for the Travelling Wilburys. That's just amazing stuff, that is.
I mean, 1988, I mean, that was the year he died. He died in December of that year. But 1988 was the year, as you just touched on then, Travelling Wilburys. He co-founded that super group.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, to actually get all those people, such big artists in their own right,
yeah,
and to actually be performing all together, I mean, that's a super group, isn't it?
It was a band and a half. I mean, Tom Petty, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Jeff Lynne, and Roy Orbison.
Yeah, and it was only started up as just a bit of fun to start with, and ended up as big as it did. But like I say, it's a shame that it never was able to continue.
Well, you're performing tunes from the Travelling Wilburys as well as Roy Orbison. And also, you're doing music from Chris Isaak, because Chris Isaak was seen as the sort of new Roy Orbison when he emerged on the scene, wasn't he?
Correct, yes. And I mean, he was a big, big fan of Roy Orbison. And he was even asked to go and collect certain awards on behalf of Roy Orbison.
Your show starts in 1988, really, as we've been talking about the year that sadly Roy Orbison died. But the opening of your show pays tribute to a TV special he did just before he died, and that was alongside Bruce Springsteen, Elvis Costello, and K.D. Lang at the Coconut Grove in L.A. It was an award-winning TV special called the Black and White Night TV Special, and that's where your show kicks off, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That was an absolutely outstanding show. I mean, I still continuously keep watching that over and over. It's just such an amazing performance. That's how we started off. Try and cover as much of the of his music through his era, through his career, as we can.
He was only 52 when he died, and 1988 was an amazing year. Obviously, the Travelling Wilburys had been formed, they'd released material, he'd recorded new solo stuff, because You Got It was his biggest hit in decades when it came out just a few weeks after he left us.
That's correct. I mean, that is one of my favourites as well, you see. You Got It, and you can, if you listen to it carefully, you can hear it's very much composed by Jeff Lynne, a lot of it, really, the way it's put together.
Well, it's been fantastic to be able to chat to you today, Barry. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
No worries at all. So, Barry Steele and Friends, with music from the Big O, Chris Isaak and the Travelling Wilburys, is coming to the Regal in Tenbury Wells on Thursday, the 2nd of February. Good luck for the show. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome to Sunshine Radio. The songs that make you feel good.
This is Chris Bloomer on Sunshine Radio, and for the final part of this podcast, I'm chatting to a man who's bringing his band to the Regal in Tenbury on Friday, February the 3rd. And here to talk to us about it is John Bowden. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you today?
Yeah, not bad at all, thanks.
Got to ask first, do you enjoy life on the road? Do you enjoy touring?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's quite varied for me. So I go from sort of just me alone in my car doing solo gigs to Bellowhead on a big tour bus with, 30 people on the road. Yeah. So it's quite varied. And I guess I like all aspects of it, really, apart from maybe the driving. I'm not a big fan of driving. But it's great fun.
Now, when you go to these different towns and cities, do you have time to do a bit of exploring before the big show?
Well, again, it depends who I'm with. With Bellowhead, it's great because you wake up and the tour bus is driven overnight, so you wake up and you've got the whole day. With the Remnant Kings, there's a lot of loading and unloading with the Remnant Kings, so less so with the Remnant Kings. It tends to be down to the wire to get the sound check done and all that sort of stuff. So it depends. And generally, as we get in a few more dates into the tour, we get a bit more sort of slick with our logistics.
You just mentioned there you started off with Bellowhead, an incredible career with the band. You sold over 250,000 albums, won loads of awards, and you played some incredible venues. I mean, you played the Royal Albert Hall. I mean, that must be amazing to perform there.
Yeah, we were there just in November. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I mean, we have done it before, but that was the first time we did it. It's just a standard tour date, and so I did just sort of go and stand on the stage quietly and just have take a little moment.
I bet that was one of the great moments, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It's great, but I mean, I you know, what's fun is doing with a variety of venues, you know, and you know, so actually you get a different sort of kick from a smaller venue where you can, you kind of feel more, it's a bit more personal, I suppose, in a smaller venue. But then you could, you know, obviously there's a great thrill playing to a massive venue as well. So it's, yeah, the variety keeps it interesting.
You're coming to the Regal in Tenbury Wells on Friday the 3rd of February with your band, The Remnant Kings. If anyone who's not heard or seen you before, what can they expect from a show from John Bowden and The Remnant Kings?
Well, I mean, it's a folk gig. So the band primarily folky. So we've got Sam Sweeney and Rob Harbour and sort of wonderful, people might know him from Leverett, and Sam, of course, main fiddler in Bellowhead. But it's kind of a bit different because we kind of then turn ourselves into a bit of a rock band. So Sam actually plays the drums in Remnant Kings mostly, and Rob is on the concertina, but we just sort of play about a little bit with that sort of genre crossover. We've also got MG Bolter on the tour, who's going to be playing some pedal steel guitar, and Ben on the bass, and we've got Sally Hawkins on oboe and on violin on this tour. So it's, you know, it's kind of folk, but it's kind of rock band as well, and there's a bit of traditional stuff, quite a lot of my own songs from a trilogy of albums I wrote, which are all, loosely speaking, post-apocalyptic. So it's quite a range of stuff in there, but it's all good fun.
Where did your love of folk music come from then? Who inspired you to listen to it when you were growing up?
Well, I just kind of got into it as a teenager. I mean, it was a little bit around me as I was growing up. My parents sort of had, you know, would put sort of Steel Ice Band records on in amongst, you know, the other kind of standard 80s childhood, you know, Paul Simon and Dire Straits and that's the Eurythmics and that sort of stuff. But there would be a bit of Steel Ice Band in there. So I think that maybe is what sort of whetted my appetite as a young age. And then as a teenager, I found myself drawn via things like Led Zeppelin. You know, got really into Led Zeppelin, and then, you know, got, oh, who's that singer on that track, you know, found out it was Sandy Denny, and then found out about Fairport Convention, and then that took me back to Steel Ice Band, and then someone said, oh, you ought to listen to some Martin Carthy, and so it just, it was a bit of a journey as a teenager, and then it just kept going, you know, I just kind of kept following it down that particular rabbit hole.
My dad was so much into folk music when I was growing up. He was a part of a folk club, and he even played the Fylde Folk Festival. Have you ever played that?
I have indeed, yes, many years ago.
I mean, it was an incredible experience for me as a child, watching my dad on stage in front of such a big audience and so many enthusiasts of this music. It's a very special kind of genre, isn't it, folk?
Yeah, well, I think particularly when you're sort of playing in that folk club scene, and I guess that you know, folk festivals like Fylde are very much sort of an extension of the folk club vibe. So really, you're just surrounded by fellow enthusiasts. You know, audience and on stage, and I mean half the audience that would be perfectly capable of getting up on stage and performing as well, you know, so that's quite a particular thing, and it's quite a, you know, it's quite a privilege really to have come up playing in that environment and surrounded by so much knowledge, but more than knowledge, I think it's the enthusiasm, you know, the great love of the genre and the sort of willingness for you to succeed from the audience because they like the material, yeah. You know, they like all these old songs and they want to hear it done well, you know. So yeah, it is. It's an odd, you know. It's very different, I think, to coming up in the pop scene or the classical scene or whatever. But it's a wonderful thing.
I mean, you're such a talented guy, John. I mean, you've got the singing, you play the guitar, you're the master of the fiddle as well. Is there any musical instrument you'd like to be able to play but you can't?
Yeah, I can't play any brass.
Oh,
I'd really like to be able to play a bit of brass, but it's not an easy instrument to sort of get started on when you live in a terrace house.
The neighbours don't approve, do they, really?
I mean, no. They're very long-suffering anyway, to be fair, with all my other instruments. So, yeah, I think if I started trying to learn the trumpet, that might be... I might get driven out of the village with pitchforks.
No, you don't want that, John. You don't want that. Okay, it's been fantastic to be able to chat to you today. Really excited about the show. It's obviously coming to Tenbury Wells very, very soon, The Regal, on Friday the 3rd of February. John Bowden and The Remnant Kings. John, thank you very much indeed for chatting to us today.
Thank you so much.